coming. I want to begin by sharing two stories, two mashalim. As you can see from the title of this year, I want to share two mashalim about bags. Bags. Okay, what are the two mashalim about bags? And I want you to think about these two mashalim. I want you to think about these two parables. Then we're going to put them aside. We'll come back to maybe at the end of this year. But I want you, you don't have to answer, you have to volunteer your answer. But I want you to think which of these two mashalim, which of these two presentations resonates more deeply with you. Okay? Number one comes from the Dubna Magid. The Dubna Magid was a contemporary of the Vilna Gaon, about 300 years ago. And the Dubna Magid had many, many mashalim, many, many parables. He was known for his parables. And what's interesting is that the Vilna Gaon, who would often invite the Dubna Magid to his home to give him mussar, and to give him direction in life, which is a terrifying thought, to be invited to the home of the Vilna Gaon to give mussar to the Vilna Gaon. The Dubna Magid, of all of his mashalim, the Vilna Gaon said, there are three mashalim. I guess we'll have to share my Makomos sheets, I'm sorry. Okay, this is great. Baruch Hashem. We should always be zocha to run out of sheets. That means we're growing, that's good. So the Vilna Gaon said, there are three mashalim, three parables of the Dubna Magid, where the Vilna Gaon said, I could tell you that these three capture exactly what the Pasuk was trying to say. Meaning exactly what Hashem was trying to say, or exactly what the Navi was trying to say. The Kotzker Rebbe said about the same three mashalim, that these three mashalim are said with Ruach HaKodesh. Mamish hits the nail on the head. Okay? So one of the mashalim is about a Pasuk in source number one, the Pasuk in Yeshaya. Let's learn the Pasuk, and let's see how the Dubna Magid, his name was Rabbi Krantz, was his family name, Yaakov Krantz. Let's see how he uncovers the secret of this Pasuk. The Pasuk says, V'lo osi karasa Yaakov, ki yagata bi Yisrael. Now the Pashup Shot I would have thought is what? Lo osi karasa Yaakov. Yaakov, Klal Yisrael, Jewish people. Yaakov means the Jewish people. Jewish people, you have not called out to me. Why haven't you called out to me? Ki yagata bi Yisrael, because you're tired. You're tired of me. You gave up on Hashem. The Maggid says, let me tell you what this really means. The Mashal is presented to us by the Shemi Shmuel in the second source, and I'll just tell it to you outside, because there's a lot more on the page than we're going to have time for. So we'll do some things inside, some things I'll just share with you about that. The Mashal goes like this. Imagine a fellow gets off, a person's traveling. A businessman is traveling. And he gets off a plane, he gets off a boat, he gets off a train, and there's a young man standing there looking to make a couple of bucks. So he says, oh, sir, can I help you carry your bag? You know, I have a transportation service. I'll carry your bag to your hotel for you. So he says, okay, you know. And he tells him, you know, I charge by the weight, by how far you're traveling. No problem. I can afford it. It's very helpful, actually. After a long journey, it would actually be very helpful if you took my bag for me. Okay, so the fellow starts, he picks up the bag, and they start walking to wherever this person is staying. And they get to the hotel a couple blocks away. And this young man is schlepping the bag up the stairs. And the businessman says, I'm just going to go up ahead. I'm in room so-and-so. Bring up the bag as soon as you can. I'm going to go wash up. A couple minutes later, there's a knock on the door. He opens the door. He sees the young man standing there with his bag. And the guy is schwitzing. He's dripping. He mamish looks exhausted. So he says, you don't have the right bag. So he says, what do you mean? You didn't even look at the bag yet. He says, I'm telling you, you don't have the right bag. If you look that worn out, I know for a fact you have the wrong bag. Because I know what I had in my bag. The objects that I had in my bag were light, pleasant objects to carry. If you look that burnt out from carrying my bag, then that's not my bag. You got the wrong bag. You better get back to the train station and figure this out, because I need my things. If you look that tired, I'm telling you, without even opening the bag, it could be the exact same bag on the outside, I'm telling you, if you look that worn out, you've got the wrong bag. Said the Dubna Magid, let's go back to the Pasuk. V'lo osi karasa Yaakov. Hashem doesn't say to Klal Yisrael, you're not doing mitzvos, you're not communicating with me. That's not what it means. You're not doing something right, Hashem says. You're not really calling out to me. Let's add the word really. You're not really calling out to me. You're not really interacting with me. Your relationship with me is not really what it's supposed to be. And you know how I know, says Hashem? Because I take one look at the way that you do your mitzvos, ki yagata bi Yisrael. You look exhausted. Mitzvot are supposed to energize us. Torah is supposed to give us life. Kihem chayenu v'arechemenu. You see a person davening, we're doing a mitzvah, right? You see someone putting their tefillin on in the morning, and they're half asleep. So we're doing something raw. If we look tired, we're doing mitzvot. If Shabbos makes us more tired than energized, if learning Torah makes us more worn out than energized, If doing mitzvahs leaves us feeling exhausted, as opposed to excited and given more life, then we must be doing something wrong. It's like a person who goes to the gym and says, I wanna be healthier, I wanna be stronger. Right? And every time they go, they're complaining about their back. I hurt my back. So then you're not lifting the weights right. Right? It's not making you stronger, it's hurting you. So if you're using Torah and mitzvahs and you look burnt out by it, you must be doing something wrong. And that's the pshat in the pasuk. V'lo osi karasa Yaakov. Hashem says, I can tell you, Jewish people, you're not calling out to me. What do you mean? We're doing mitzvahs. Hashem says, no, ki agata bi Yisrael. If you're that worn out, I'm telling you, you have the wrong bag. Going back to the mashal. You're carrying the wrong bag of mitzvahs around with you. That's mashal number one. That's bag number one. Okay, but the title of the shir is A Tale of Two Bags. Borrowed from A Tale of Two Cities, the famous book. So what's the other bag? So let me tell you a story about another bag, a mashal about another bag. There was a stoliner chassid who came to his Rebbe and he complained to his Rebbe. He said, Rebbe, it's just not fair. I was trying to get to you, and every road that I took, the road was closed, the police had blocked off the road, I went down another road, it was muddy, and I had to take a detour. You can't imagine how frustrated. He finally made it to the Rebbe, but he said, Rebbe, I am so frustrated being here. It took me so much effort to get here. I am so exhausted from the journey. Not that I regret being here, but why did Hashem make it so difficult for me to get to you, Rebbe? And Rav Asher of Stolen said to the chassid, let me explain with a mashal. There was a businessman who had a bag, just like the first mashal. There was a businessman who had a bag, and he used to transport very valuable things, diamonds, golden bars, large sums of money, expensive items. Now, he knew that the robbers knew that he was quite a successful businessman. He was nervous that the robbers would always be trying to peek into his bag to see what he has in his bag. So what he would always do when he would travel, he would take some straw, some worthless straw, and he would cover over whatever he had buried at the bottom of the bag to make it look like he was transporting something that was not valuable at all. One time, a robber got smart. He said, that's not straw in there. I know there's not straw in the bag. And the robber waited for just the right moment when the businessman, left his bag in the car, and the driver fell asleep, and the robber snuck into the backseat of the car, he jimmied the door open, and he reached into the bag, and he started moving aside the straw, and lo and behold, diamonds, gold at the bottom. He took it all out, the bag looked half empty. So he was worried, the businessman would figure it out too quickly when he came back, so he quickly grabbed some straw and some stubble and some grass on the side of the road, and he stuffed it into the bag, he filled up the bag, so it looked full. Businessman comes back to the car, he gets in, he sees his bag, it's still there. Thank God, the driver fell asleep. He was supposed to watch the bag, but okay, the bag is still there. It's still full, good. He gets to his place where he's spending the night, and he picks up his bag to take it out of the car, and immediately he knows he's been robbed. How does he know he's been robbed? It's too light. The bag that should have been heavy with the gold, with the diamonds, the bag is too light. He opens up, he sees the whole thing is filled with grass and straw. So Rav Asher of Stolen said, sometimes in life, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I know I'm giving you a big bag to schlep around. I know it's heavy. I know it's laborious. But I'm telling you, if you're schlepping something valuable around in this world, you're going to look, it's going to be a little bit heavy. If you're making your way through this world too easily, if you're not worn out, if you're not schwitzing a little bit, if your back's not aching a little bit, then you have to be concerned that you're just carrying straw through this world. You're carrying things that are not really valuable in this world. So two mashalim from two great tzaddikim, the Dubna Magid and Rav Asher of Stolen. And I want you to think about them for a second. Which one resonates with you more? Again, to review, the first mashal was, if you look worn out, that's a sign you're doing something wrong. That's not my bag. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's bag, Torah and mitzvot, it's supposed to energize us, it's supposed to give us life. We're not supposed to look broken after a day of serving God, we're supposed to be thirsty for more. Shavuos night is the litmus test, right? You try to stay up all night learning Torah, and Hashem says, does Torah keep you awake or does Torah put you to sleep? Let's be honest about it for a second. Does Torah wake you up or does Torah put you to sleep? And that's a litmus test. How serious are you about Torah? If you're serious about Torah, the Torah should give you life, should energize you. Right? That's what the Dubna Magid taught us. And on the flip side, Rav Asher of Stolen said almost the very opposite. That if your life is meaningful, and if you're really grabbing onto Torah because Torah is demanding, then you should look like you're carrying something heavy. And if your life's going too easily, if things are just too happy-go-lucky, you should be nervous that you're carrying something straw through this world and you don't have the real stuff. You don't have the heavy gold. You don't have the silver. You don't have the diamonds. You don't have the expensive, more worthwhile possessions of this world. So I ask you to think about it. Which one is more true to our experience? You don't have to answer right now. We're going to come back to it. Okay? So let's put aside our two bags. Put one on the right, one on the left. Put aside our two bags. And let's learn the Mishnah that we always recite when we conclude a Perek of Pirkei Avos. The weeks between Pesach and Shavuos are weeks where we study Pirkei Avos. This is the last week. This is the sixth and final week of the study of Pirkei Avos. And we always end off each Perek, but especially the last parak seems to even more so include this Mishnah. Now what's interesting is the Mishnah is not from Pirkei Avos. The Mishnah is not from Pirkei Avos. The Mishnah is the last Mishnah in the Maseches Makos. But we always end off on this Mishnah. What is the Mishnah? Take a look at source number 3. In the Braisa of Kinyan Torah, which is the name of the sixth parak of Avos. Pirkei Avos is really 5 prakim. The sixth parak was an added parak, teaching us about the importance of Torah, maybe to round out the 6 weeks between Pesach and Shavuos. And the Braisa of Kinyan Torah seems to end on this Mishnah in Makos, seems to be incorporated there. But again, every parak, when you finish the first, second, third, fourth, fifth parak of Pirkei Avos, we also end with these words. Rabbi Chananya ben Akashya Omer, Ratza HaKadosh Baruch, I'm reading where it's bolded, Ratza HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lezakos Es Yisrael. Hashem wanted Lezakos Es Yisrael. We'll translate in a second. Lefichach hirbalehem Torah u'mitzos, and therefore God gave us a lot of Torah and mitzos because He wanted lezakos es Yisrael. Shneamar Hashem chafetz leman tzidko yagdil Torah v'yadir. Why do we end every Mishnah of Pirkei Avos with this phrase? Again, open up the Art Scroll Siddur. After each parak, you'll find this Mishnah, which is actually the last Mishnah Maseches Makos. Why do we end off our study of Pirkei Avos, especially the last week, this week, as we complete the cycle of Pirkei Avos, we end off Ratza Kadosh Baruch Hu Lezakos Es Yisrael Lefichach Hir Belehem Torah Mitzvos. What does that even mean? And why is that how we end off Pirkei Avos? So if you look at the commentary of Rashi in source number 4, Rashi says something that's a little bit hard to understand. Rashi points out Rabbi Chananya ben Akashya Omer, Lo Amar Lemilse Gabi Maseches Avos. This is not actually a Mishnah from Avos. El Maseches Makos Be'elu Hein Alokin. This is a Mishnah in the third parak of Makos, the last Mishnah in all of Maseches Makos on Daf Chav Gimel. Ulefisha Yesh Basiyum Na. But since it's a pleasant way to end off, Nagu Kol Am La Amar Besof Kol Parak Uparak. It's a beautiful message. We don't translate it yet. Not everyone knows what the words even mean yet. We'll get to it in a second. But it's such a beautiful message that it's a nice way to end off our study of Pirkei Avos. Lefisha ein omrim kaddish al ha-mishnah ela al ha-agada. Because we don't say kaddish, you'll notice sometimes the rabbi gets up between mincha ma'ariv, gives a 2-minute little dvar Torah, and then the rabbi also will end up. Right? He'll end off his little drasha or his little dvar halacha. He'll say this Mishnah from Makos. Says Rashi, why do we end with this? Because we want to say a Kaddish. We want to allow the mourners to recite Kaddish. And we don't say Kaddish over a Mishnah, but we say Kaddish over an Agadita, over a Musar lesson. So first of all, this is a Mishnah. It's a Mishnah in Makos, I just told you. It is a Musar lesson, right? But so is all of Pirkei Avos. So why this is more of a Agadita, we want to end Pirkei Avos on a more inspirational note. Pirkei Avos is the most inspirational Masechta in terms of just, you know, guidance in life, ethics. So I'm not really sure what Rashi's saying in terms of why we want to end off Dafka with this Mishnah. But the bottom line is this is how we end off. So let's just understand what the words mean. More so than why it's here, let's try to just understand what the words mean and ask if it's true. You're allowed to ask yourself, what are Chazal saying? You don't just read it and translate it. You have to ask, what on earth are Chazal talking about? So what do the words mean? Ratza HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lezakos Es Yisrael Lafichach Hir Balehem Torah U'mitzos. What does it mean, Lezakos Es Yisrael? How would you translate the word Lezakos Es Yisrael? So let's do not Pashat Pshat first. Some tzaddikim explain Lezakos is a lashon of Shemen Zayez Zach. What does Zach mean? Pure. Ratza HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lezakos Es Yisrael. Hashem wanted, right, not from the word zocha, to merit, that we should earn, that's the pashup shot, we'll get to that. Hashem wanted to what? To purify us. Hashem wanted to refine us. And therefore, how do you refine a Jew? Lefichach hirbo lehem Torah u'mitzvos. So for example, you find this in the writings of the Altar of Kelm, one of the great Bali Musar. You find it in the writings of the Bas Ayin, one of the great Tzaddikim of Chassidus, who settled in Tzvat in the late 1700s, early 1800s. The sefer is called Bas Ayin. In this past week's Parsha, in source number 5, look what he writes, where it's bolded. Perish Lezakos Miloshon Zichuch. Lezakos means what? To purify. She Yisrael Zach Vinaki. Why did God give us so many mitzvos? Because if we don't have mitzvos, we're going to be unrefined human beings. And every mitzvah, whether you realize it or not, from kashrus to Shabbos to taras mishpacha to not speaking lashon hara, etc., 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 don't wear shatnez, para aduma, every one of them is refining the Jewish soul. It's making us better people. Sometimes it's obvious, sometimes it's less obvious, but that's the point of the mitzvos. The point of the mitzvos is to make us into refined human beings. Let me ask you, or let me say something that's going to sound heretical, but it's really a medrash tanchum in source number 6. Does God care about our mitzvos? Do mitzvos really matter? Let's use the example of the Medrash Tanchuma in Parsha Shemini, which talks a lot about kashrus. Does God, you're going to say, Rabbi, I'm not staying for the rest of this year, you're spewing heresy. Does God really care? Okay, so the shechita knives, oh, it's a little bit dulled. I shecht from the front of the neck, I shecht from the back of the neck. It's good enough, it's close enough. So my matzah baked for 17 minutes, my matzah baked for 30 minutes. Okay, it's still flat, it's still, chametz. What's the difference? Does God really care if I turn on a light on Shabbos? Right? I hear these questions all the time, especially from high school students, or high school-ish question. Does God really care if? And a little bit, says the Medrash, the answer is no. In terms of God, you don't hurt God's feelings if you ate a cheeseburger. But God, who programmed the world, knows that something happens to you when you eat a cheeseburger. And something very destructive happens to your core when you turn on a light on Shabbos. Or separate a jelly bean out of the bowl, the one that you don't like, because that's called borer. It's one of the 39 malachos. And therefore, Ratzo Kodesh Baruch Hu Lezakos Es Yisrael. Look at this unbelievable medrash. Let's read source 6, 3 lines from the end. Okay? A couple words into the 3 lines from the bottom. Ma'ichbat LaKodesh Baruch Hu. Such strong words. Ma ichbat laKadosh Baruch Hu. Does God really care? Sheyochli Yisrael b'lishchita. Does God really care if you eat an unslaughtered animal? Now the punchline is yes, He does care. I want to be very clear, He does care. But in terms of like the shchita per se, God doesn't care. God doesn't really. You don't hurt Hashem's feelings, right? Hashem is bigger than our mitzvos or our averos. Sheyisrael nocher v'ochal. The Jew wants to just stab an animal and eat it. Do you think God really cares? Do you think it matters to Hashem? Yeshech from the back of the neck, the front of the neck. What difference does it make? Teida, you should know. Jewish people, you should know. Look where it's underlined. Shelo nitzava shchita hazu ela kedei letzaref es Yisrael. All 613 mitzvos, all the details of the Shulchan Aruch, everything that a Jew does in this world is simply to help you to refine your soul. Again, you may not understand why that's true. Why God cares if. You may not fully understand the why. But Chazal are revealing to us, you know why mitzvahs are important? Lezakos es Yisrael. Because it makes you zach v'naki. It makes you pure. It makes you refined. It changes your very body. Not just your soul. It changes your body. The Kedushas Levi in Parshas Vayetzei says, Ratzah Kadosh Baruch Hu lezakos es Yisrael. Hashem wants you to be pure, and therefore, you know what? Lefichach hirba, what's the lashon of the Mishnah? Hirba lahem. You're talking to us. You don't need to say them. Who's the them that you're talking to? Hashem wanted to purify the Jewish people. Therefore, he commanded them. Who's the them? The them, says the Kedushas Levi, says with Levi Tzav Berditchev, is your body. That even the them, even the body of you is changed by mitzvos. Forget the fact that your neshama is going to be shining when it's all said and done. But it changes. You're a different human being when you eat shechted meat as opposed to not shechted meat. You're a different human being when you shut your cell phone on Shabbos as opposed to just letting it run for the rest of your life, always by your side. It changes the person. Sometimes we get it, sometimes we don't. But Lezakos, again, explains the Kedushas Levi, explains the Bas Ayin, explains the Altar of Kelm, and again, it's really hinted to in Chazal in this Medrash, that the purpose of mitzvos is what? It's not about scoring points, it's not about making God proud, it's about changing yourself. It's about making you into a different, more refined, sensitive, pure, and holy human being, period. That's the deeper pshat in Lezakos Es Yisrael. What's the pashut pshat in and Lezakos Es Yisrael. Let's come back to the words of the Mishnah. Ratzah Kadosh Baruch Hu Lezakos Es Yisrael. The Pashut Pshat is, Hashem wanted to give you schar. Hashem wanted to give you a lot of points. Hashem wanted you to win a big prize at the end of your life. So how is Hashem going to help you to win a big prize? What do Chazal say? He gave you a lot of mitzvos. He didn't just give you 7 mitzvos like the rest of the world. He gave you 613 mitzvos. Okay, no one can do all of them. A Kohen, a Levi, a man, a woman. Okay. But he gave you a lot of mitzvos because what? He wants you to be meritorious. He wants you to have merit. He wants you to have schar. So, does that make sense to us? Part of it makes sense. If you look in Maseches Makos, where this Mishnah is actually from, I told you it's on Daf Chav Gimel. Who appears on the page? Who are the commentators on the side of the Gemara? Usually Rashi and Tosfos. Rashi died in the middle of writing his commentary on Maseches Makos. Rashi left this world in the middle of writing his commentary on Maseches Makos. He was writing some other Masechtos at the same time. So Rashi actually passed away in the middle of several Masechtos. We learn from here it's okay to learn more than one thing at once. You know, if you're worried, like, I'm always jumping from one sefer to the next, so is Rashi. Okay, he was also writing his commentary on Shas, but okay. It's okay to bounce around a little bit, just to break up your day, you know, start a few different svarim at the same time. Even Rashi didn't finish all of his projects. Okay, and who takes over for Rashi? The Rivan. The Rivan was Rashi's student, Rav Yehuda Bar Nassan. He takes over for Rashi, and he finishes out the last 4 blot of Maseches Makos. And he explains to us in source number 8, what does it mean? Hashem wanted to give us a lot of merit, so he gave us a lot of mitzvos. So he explains, where's the bulletin in source number 8? Yes, Hashem gave you very easy things to score a lot of points, to run up the scoreboard. How did Hashem give you some easy points? Hashem commanded you in things that you were going to do anyways. Okay, let me ask you, by a show of hands, and don't raise your hand if you're this person because you're weird. Who here is tempted to drink a cup of blood? Is that your thing? It's not my thing. I can say confidently. Now, again, if that's your thing, you're an interesting person. Yeah. Most people I meet don't say, yes, that's, oh my gosh, I struggle with that every day. It looks so tempting. It's so delicious. The Torah says there are certain shkotzim, creepy crawly things. When a spider runs by, I just want to grab it and eat it. It's so hard for me to control. But I mavatl myself to the ratzon habore, and I don't eat the spider or the mouse or the weasel. Most people, that's not a struggle. And yet it's a mitzvah. Which means every time you don't eat that spider, you get points. Every time you say, Hashem, you know, I'm not going to drink blood right now, right? So the clock is just running throughout the whole day, 24 hours a day, I'm not drinking blood, I'm not drinking blood, I'm not drinking blood. And the scoreboard's going wild in Shemayim. Ratzah Kodesh Baruch Hu Lezakos Yisrael, Hashem made it easy for us, says the Rivan, to run up the scoreboard. Says the Rivan where it's bolded in source number 8. Where it's bolded, there are certain mitzvos that God didn't need to command. We weren't doing them anyways. They're sick, abominable, and weird behaviors. You find an animal carcass rotting in the field, buzzing with flies. You're tempted to go and eat that. Hashem has to say, don't eat a dead animal you find in the field. There's no person in the world who's not grossed out by that. Now you'll tell me in some cultures maybe they do eat these strange things. So maybe that's a challenge to Rivan. Maybe, you know, Rivan was speaking in his society, and maybe it's true for us as well. We're not tempted by these things. Maybe in some cultures drinking a cup of blood is a delicacy. I don't know. Maybe it is tempting. But for normal people, or we would call normal people, it's not a temptation at all. So Hashem, Ratzah Kadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem, you made it so easy for us. Lezakos, you gave us a way to get so many merits, so many mitzvos, without even trying, by giving us so many things to do. Someone once came to Shlomo Zalman Orbach with the following complaint. Hashem is bothering me. Hashem is bothering me. Stop telling me how to do everything. I can't even put on my shoes without opening up a Shulchan Aruch and finding out there's a halacha. First you put on your right shoe, then you put on your left shoe. If you don't know this, now you know. You'll know how to do it starting tomorrow. Right? Assuming you have laces, then you tie the left and then you tie the right. That's the halachic way to put on shoes. Why that is, we're not going into right now, but that's what it says in the Shulchan Aruch. Right shoe, then left shoe. Tie the left, then tie the right. If you're not wearing laces, so then again, just right shoe followed by left shoe. If you put on your left shoe before your right shoe, you're going against the halacha. Not the biggest of error we've probably ever done, but okay. It's an error. It's not the Torah way. So this person came to Shlomo Zalman Orbach, and he said, Rebbe, it's very annoying that everything that we have to do in our life, Hashem is hocking us, bothering us, expecting of us to do it His way. Why can't I just, you know, use the bathroom my way, or take a shower my way, or eat my way, or put my clothing on my way? Why are there halachos for everything that I do? Everything that a Jew does is halachos. So Shlomo Zalman Auerbach was a very smart person and a very sensitive person, and he always knew how to see things in a very nice way. That's why he had hundreds of thousands of people across the spectrum in Eretz Yisrael at his funeral. When Shlomo Zalman Auerbach passed away, there were hundreds of thousands of people, from people who met him once to Talmidim who understood he was the Gadol Hador. But he was the Gadol Hador more than just his Torah. It was his midos, it was his character, that, you know, smile always on his face. Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach said to the fellow, "I think you're looking at it backwards. I see it differently. Here's how I see it. I see it that Hashem says, you're a human being. I made you a human being. For whatever reason, that's how God made us. Human beings wear shoes, no? You're planning on wearing shoes anyways. So Hashem said, you know what? I'm going to give you a really easy mitzvah. So when you put on your shoes anyways, why not get some points? You're going to eat food, no? You're going to sleep. So I'll give you halachas of how I want you to sleep. You're going to have to do it anyways. You're going to have to bathe yourself. So I'll give you halachos of how to do that. Right? I'll throw them in for free, basically, Hashem says. That's the way to look at it. There's human things, there's human needs that you have. There's things that you're going to be doing anyways. So Hashem in his kindness said, instead of it just being downtime, why not turn it into something you can get a prize for, get an olam haba for, score a point on the heavenly scoreboard. Ratzo Kodesh Baruch Hu lezakos es Yisrael. So Hashem gave us lots of mitzvos in order to give us merit, to give us schar. He gave us things that we're doing anyways. Hashem made mitzvos out of things that, and averos out of things we would never want to do anyways. We get free points. This is one approach to Ratzo Kodesh Baruch Hu lezakos es Yisrael. And it's very nice, it's very lovely. The problem is, it's not so simple. There's an elephant in the room. What's the big question that's hanging over this Mishnah? And again, we have to think about it as we come to the last week of Pirkei Avos. Every week of Pirkei Avos, we end off with this Mishnah, Maseches Makos. Ratzah Kadosh Baruch, Hashem, you're so good to me. You gave me so many things to do. You gave me mitzvahs, things I wasn't tempted to do anyways. Like Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach explained, you made mitzvahs out of things I was going to do anyways. Here's the problem. Hashem, at the end of the day, it's still a lot of responsibility. It's still a lot of things to remember. It's still a lot of things to do. Some of them are quite expensive. Right? Some of them I don't really understand. If you really love me so much, so why not give me two or three mitzvahs? And a lot of free time. And I'll be really good at those two or three mitzvahs because I won't feel burnt out because I have all that other time, right, where I'm not on duty, I'm not on call 24/7. And I'll be a better person, I'll be a better Jew. If you love me so much, why are you piling so many? You realize how hard this is going to be for me to do well when I have so many things I need to be thinking about all the time? If you want to, Lezako says Yisrael, if you want to give me mitzvahs, so give me just that one easy mitzvah. Again, just give me the mitzvah. Don't drink blood. Don't eat spiders. Okay? Give me those two things. Don't eat nevela. We'll add a third thing. Throw in a couple really easy things, and I won't do those things anyways because you know I'm not tempted by those things, and the scoreboard will run it up. And I'll come back after my lifetime in this world and I'll have a perfect score and I'll get a big olam haba and shalom al Yisrael and everything's great. Why are you giving me, if you want me to be so successful, so don't assign so much homework. Don't give me so many tests. This is the question that the Maharal of Prague asked. The Maharal of Prague, who lived in the 1500s, one of the greatest Bali Machshava maybe of all time, in his closing comments to his Derech Chaim on Pirkei Avos, he asked this question. My parents were actually just in Prague this week. Now they're in Eretz Yisrael for Shavuos. And I remember I once had the Shavuos to go to Prague. And in Prague, there's a big statue of the Maharal of Prague. They made him look kind of like Harry Potter-ish in terms of like a very wizardy type of look. Right? Earlier this week, my parents were in Prague, and I was at the YU graduation, the YU and Stern College graduation, which is where the Devils play in New Jersey. And right outside the stadium, there's a big statue of the great goalie, Brodeur, with his stick raised up. And I was thinking, not that Jews are so into statues either way, right? But look at the difference between a hockey player, you know, a very good goalie, a very famous goalie, right? But who are, you know, if we're making a statue out of someone, we're going to make a statue, we shouldn't make statues. Hashem's not into statues. But, okay, the Maharal of Prague. He left his imprint on the Czech Republic, right? So that's who they have. Outside their places of where people congregate. Okay, so Anu amelim v'hem amelim, I guess, in some kind of way. Anyways, the Maharal of Prague asked the question. It's source number 9. Reisi makshim al divrei ha'tana. I've seen that many before me have asked the question also. It's an obvious question. Again, it's, so to speak, the elephant in the room that has to be addressed. And that is, Masha Omer rotza kodesh baruch hu lezakos es Yisrael. Hashem, you love me so much that you piled so many mitzvos on top of me. Says the Maharal, where it's bolded, v'adas nosein hefech zeh. Logic tells me the opposite. If you want me to do well, don't give me an assignment that is so overwhelming. Don't give me a 613-page assignment. Give me a 7-page assignment, like you gave the Gentiles of the world. Shev mitzvos b'nei noach. It's more manageable. I'll get it in a more timely fashion. I'll do it with more yishuv adas. I won't be cramming the night before the exam. And it's going to be great. Shem b'nei zechus v'tovas Yisrael hayalo l'seis aleya mitzvos mu'atos. If you're trying to be lezakos as Yisrael, if you want us to be winners, Hashem, so just give us a couple of mitzvos. V'lo mitzvos harbe, ki mitzvos harbe yesh lachush, with so many mitzvos we need to be concerned, shema yavur. Maybe I'll violate a lot of things. U'mazchus aleim kasher hir b'lehem mitzvosav. So in what way were you helping me by making my life so overwhelming? The Gemara in Erevin tells a very interesting debate that took place. A philosophical debate that lasted 2.5 years. You know what the debate was? Anyone know? Erevin Daf Yud Gimel, in source number 10. For 2.5 years they debated, is it better to be created, the base Medrash of Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel debated, for 2.5 years, is it better for us to exist or not? Should we be thankful we're alive? Okay, now don't do anything crazy now, okay? Everyone's been forewarned. You hear the conclusion, but don't throw yourself off a building. The Gemara concludes that after 2.5 years of debate, they decided it's better, noach lo la'adam shalo nivra, yosar misha nivra. The greatest minds, the great think tank of Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel sat together, philosophizing for 2.5 years, a big sugya, 2.5 years, shir for 2.5 years, different presentations, 2.5 years, and at the end they came to the conclusion, they took a vote, and you can see it with your own eyes, where it's bolded in source number 10, noach lo la'adam shalo nivra, Yoser Misha Nivra. Better not to be created. Concludes the Gemara. Now that we're created, we might as well make the most of it. What kind of crazy conclusion is that? What's the most obvious question? There's a lot of questions you can ask on this Gemara. What's the most obvious question you'd want to ask? That they came to the conclusion, it's better not to be created. New, ask a question. What's the question? Let's go. Team Ganchar, let's hear. All right, so then why did God make us? What are we doing here? All right, how can you come to a conclusion, it would be better not to be created? You're basically saying, God, this was a bad experiment. This was a failed experiment. You're questioning Hashem, who decided that you should exist because you do exist. So what kind of conclusion? The Marsha asked this question, not in Mesachas Erevin, but in our parallel in Mesachas Makos. Ratza HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lezakos Es Yisrael. The Marsha says, he quotes this Gemara in Erevin, and raises the very simple question. So why did God make us? If Beisham and Beis Hillel are so smart, after 2.5 years of debates, how could they come to a conclusion that's against the psak of God? By psak, I mean the fact that we exist. And then the Maharsha goes on and he discusses, again, our Mishnah. And he gives us an angle that will help us to better understand the Maharal's question. Right? If Hashem, if you love us so much, so make it easier for us. That was the Maharal's question in the 1500s. Says the Maharsha, I'll explain the question. He doesn't quote the Maharal, but he explains the question that much better. How many mitzvahs are there? 613. Says the Maharsha, wrong. There's one mitzvah. There's really one big mitzvah called do God's will. If you want to get fancy, you can say there's two mitzvahs. Anochi Hashem Elokecha and Lo Yelecha Elohim Acherim. Believe in God, don't believe in other gods. Everything else is just a commentary on that. Us as human beings, we see it as divided into what? Into mitzvahs asay and mitzvahs lo asay. Okay, so let's see it from our perspective for a second. How many mitzvot asay are there? How many positive commandments are there? 248. How many lo sasei, don't do's, are there? 365. So the Maharsha says, right, and that's why it's better not to be created. Because there's more things that can go wrong than that can go right. There's more averos for you to mess up in than there are mitzvos for you to do. Right? There's more things you're trying to avoid, there's more problems in the world than there are positive opportunities in the world. So the odds are, so to speak, stacked against us. And that's why initially they came, no, we haven't answered the question, so then why did God create us? Okay, we're not going to answer that question right now. But we're trying to explain, we're trying to deepen the question of the Maharal and try to explain to ourselves this Mishnah that says, Hashem, Rotza Kodesh Baruch Hu Lezakos Es Yisrael, you love us so much, Hashem, that you piled on more and more mitzvos. But if you look at the tally, it's more losaseh than mitzvos aseh. And Bichlal, the Maharal's question, it's just overwhelming. Don't, if you care about me and you want me to do well, so then don't overwhelm me. Don't give me so many things to do. It's simply too much. So one way we can maybe offer a little bit of an explanation for the fact that we exist and for the fact that we do have so many mitzvos, and that Chazal saw it as a good thing. Again, what did the Gemara and Erevin say? Now that we exist, we might as well make the most of it. Let's assume for a moment that God was right in creating us, okay? So now that we exist, does it make sense to give us a lot of things to do? And I think the answer is yes. The Mishnah says in Ksubis, in the fifth parak, that being bored is really, really bad. The Mishnah says in Ksubis, in the fifth parak, uses two expressions. Batala mevia lidei shiyamum. Doing nothing leads to boredom. Okay, right? Doing nothing leads to boredom, that's true. But then the Mishnah says something even more dangerous. Right? That boredom, batala mevia lidei zima. That being bored leads to lewd behavior. It leads a person, their mind starts to wander, and then invariably you're gonna end up getting involved in bad stuff. Right? You see it in the whole the whole world of people who simply just have too much money and too much time. You have people who you look at sometimes, you think they have such successful careers. How did this person get involved with this behavior, sexually illicit behavior, drugs, all sorts of things? How do these movie stars who are so successful because they have too much money and too much time, and they end up getting involved in bad stuff? That's what happens if you don't have something meaningful to fill your time with, right? If you're an NFL player, an NBA player, and you're retired by 35, and you've got $75 million in the bank account, so what are you going to do with your time? You're going to gamble, you're going to do drugs, and you're going to become a womanizer, and you're going to do all sorts of bad stuff. Okay, and therefore, says the Mishnah in Maseches Ksubis, being bored, not having anything to do, is really bad. So explains the Dubna Magid, one of our two mashalim that we started with, in a totally different mashal that I saw quoted in the Sefer, in source number 12, a Sefer called Lekutei Basar Lekutei. Another mashal from the Dubna Magid. I'll tell it to you outside again. Here's what the Dubna Magid says. Imagine a young fellow who comes to visit his uncle. Okay, let's imagine his uncle lives in a place where you can get yourself into a lot of trouble. Okay, I don't want to name a place. Let's say Las Vegas. There's a lot of trouble that one can... I know they try to make it very family-oriented today. Okay, there's still plenty of trouble in Vegas. So he comes to visit his uncle. He's a very frum guy. Very yeshivish frum guy. Bamas, really a frum person, who lives in Vegas. Why does this guy live in Vegas? For whatever reason. He has to live in Vegas. His nephew comes to visit him. Now, his nephew's a Ben Torah. He's a good guy. So why did he come to Vegas? He came to Vegas because he heard that there was a convention and they're selling all sorts of products that his nephew wants to purchase, all sorts of the latest inventions, I don't know, electronic gadgets, and he's going to buy up all these things and he's going to make a profit. That's how his nephew makes parnasa. Okay. Now the uncle says, I know that if my nephew spends too much time wandering around, if he has too much free time, he's going to get himself into trouble. So you know what his uncle does, because he cares about his soul? His uncle says, when he shows up, he says, oh, this is good, this is excellent. I'm going to take care of you. Stay by me, I'm going to take care of you. He stays by his uncle, and his uncle calls every person he knows who has a product to sell, and he lines up business meetings literally around the clock for the entire week. So much so that at the end of the week, his nephew has maxed out his credit card, but he did well. He bought all sorts of new products. He's going to make a lot of money, but he's exhausted, completely exhausted. He said, I figured I'd have a little time to vacation when I was here. This was like crazy. I mean, from Parnassus' standpoint, I did well. But this was like, there was no downtime. It was crazy. People just kept knocking at your door around the clock selling me products. So his uncle says, listen, I lined up the whole thing. I wanted these people to come to our home. And I wanted you to be busy because there's a lot of temptation out there. And I didn't want you, I didn't know if you would have the resolve and the confidence to turn down that temptation. So I knew if I kept you busy, it would actually be very good for you. Says the Dubna Magid, Rotza Kodesh Baruch Hu Lezakos Es Yisrael. Hashem put us in a crazy world for whatever reason. Hashem threw us down into this Alma de Shikra, this world of lies, this world of temptation, this world of concealment. And God says, I'm very nervous about you. There's one way to make sure that you stay safe. How does Hashem keep us safe in this world? By keeping us busy with tons of things to do. And that's why Rotza Kodesh Baruch Hashem wants, again, Lezako is that we should have merit, Lezako is that we should stay pure. If a Jew buys into Torah and mitzvot, we simply don't have time in the course of our busy Torah and mitzvot schedule to get ourselves into trouble. So you could say, even though, yes, we're exhausted by it, even though we're overwhelmed by it, even though it's very demanding, it is for our own good, because if you have to be in this world for whatever crazy reason, Hashem says, I'm going to make it that you're very, very busy. And that way you'll stay out of trouble. Okay. So again, maybe that's one way that Hashem, again, shows His love to us, even though it's very demanding. It's very overwhelming. But now I want to come a little bit back full circle. And let's learn one more Mishnah from this Shabbos' Pirkei Avos. And I want you again to think, as we come to Shavuos, is the life of a Jew meant to be a pleasant life? Or is it meant to be an overwhelming life, but a life that's still worth it? Or is it maybe a combination of the two? We'll come back to our two bags in just a couple more minutes. So take a look at Source 13. A Mishnah in Pirkei Avos that again seems very, very heavy. In the sixth parak of Avos. Kach hi darcha shel Torah. This is the path to Torah. If you were looking for a life of relaxation, of luxuries, of comforts, right? So you're not going to be very successful. Kach hi darcha shel Torah. A very intense Mishnah. Listen to this. This is the path of Torah. Pas b'melech tocha. Your food should consist of what? Bread dipped in salt. Right? So like, no sushi, no ice cream, no pizza, no hamburgers. Bread dipped in salt. Every day, yes. Plain bread, and your the spread on top is a little salt sprinkled on top. That's already a shtick of luxury. And it's only because in halacha there's a reason for dipping bread into salt, so we'll let you have salt. Thank you so much, Shem. Wow, thank you so much. Mayim b'mesura tishta. No coffee, no Powerade, no Gatorade, no juice, no soda. Water. Drink water. We don't have time for these fancy beverages. No wine, nothing. Water. V'al'aretz tishan. And you think you're going to be successful sleeping in your big comfy bed every night. Right? King-size bed. Too many pillows. A nice, nice comfortable blanket. No way. Sleep on the ground. That way you'll be uncomfortable. You get up early and get back to learning Torah. V'chaye tzar tichya. And a life deprived of pleasures you shall live. A life of difficulty you shall live. Kachid darcha shel Torah. Kachid, this is the path of Torah. And by the way, imata osakein, if you do this, ashrecha v'tov lach, ashrecha b'olam haza, v'tov lach li'olam haba. And if you do this, you'll be happy in this world, and it'll be good for you in the next world. So my friends, ask another very simple question. Tonight's a night of very simple questions. I understand that it'll be good for me in the next world. I can believe that. How is ashrecha b'olam haza? As everyone else is enjoying the comforts of this world, the luxuries of this world, the physical pleasures of this world, and the Mishnah is telling you, no, chaye tzar tichya. Live a life of deprivation. And by the way, it's going to be great. Someone once came to the Chazon Ish and asked this question. And the Chazon Ish offered the following answer. He said, the only way you could possibly understand it is if you experience it. He said, you're missing the key words in the Mishnah. Now again, the Chazon Ish lived in Bnei Brak, and the Chazon Ish literally lived this way. But the Chazon Ish really believed what the Mishnah said. And the problem that with us believing it is that we're too involved in other things. I saw from a tzaddik recently, Rav Moshe Midner. He said, we say in the Birchas Kriyashma, we say Avas Olam, and we say Ava Rabba. He said, to whatever degree you're willing to give up the Avas Olam, your love of the world, you'll be able to come to Ava Rabba, to the bigger love of Hashem. If you let go of the world a little bit, you'll see that the love and the feeling, the good feeling you have of falling in love with Hashem makes up for all of the cheap pleasures of the world. So explain the Chazon Ish. You know what the key phrase in this Mishnah is? The key phrase in this Mishnah is Im Ata Osakein. If you do it, if you really immerse yourself in Torah, you'll see it's true. An outsider will think you're nuts. You live like that. The Chavetz Chaim had a rickety table in his home. He didn't have a proper anything. Chavetz Chaim's daughter, as you're planning out your Yontav outfits, had two outfits. That's it. That was her whole closet. And she alternated between the two outfits. Right? She didn't have 17 different things to wear for Yontav, and she was fine with it. Because she lived a life of Torah, and she understood. Imata osakein, if you really live a life of Torah, you don't feel like you're missing out. Ashrecha bolam hazeh. It's gevaldik in this world. So on the one hand, yes, there is a reality that a Jew can live a life completely, superficially overwhelmed by the responsibility of Torah and mitzvot, and love every second of it. But maybe that's for the Chazanishas of the world. The other way to look at it, the other way to read this Mishnah, is the way Rav Meir Shapiro once read this Mishnah. And it's a little bit funny. Rav Meir Shapiro once read the Mishnah as follows. If you look in Shulchan Aruch in Source 15, right, there's a halacha with regard to saying Hallel on the night of Pesach. We're going to have Marav in 5 more minutes. Hallel on the night of Pesach. Do you say Hallel and Shul on the night of Pesach? Some places do, some places don't. The Ramah says, very clearly, in Source 15 where it's bolded, that Minag Ashkenaz is not to say Hallel on the night of Pesach and Shul. He says, the Shulchan Aruch says you should say Hallel. V'chol ze ein anu nogim kein. We don't do this. Ki ein anu omrim b'layla b'beis haknesses Hallel kla. We don't say Hallel. That's not our thing. We don't say Hallel. Rav Meir Shapiro once came to someone. He was collecting money for his yeshiva Chachmei Lublin. Now, in Chachmei Lublin, one of the things Rav Meir Shapiro was trying to create was a yeshiva where the Bacharim had proper food and proper bedding, and they were taken care of, that they shouldn't have to suffer so much. So he came to this gvir, and he said, listen, I'm collecting money for the yeshiva. So the gvir says to him, but it says in Pirkei Avos, Kachi Darcha Shel Torah, what do you need my money for? Kachi Darcha Shel Torah, tell your Bacharim to eat bread and salt, tell your Bacharim to drink water. They need coffee. Kachi Darcha Shel Torah, tell them to sleep on the ground. Why are you trying to give them luxuries? Chai Tzar Tichya. And the gvir was all of a sudden so frum. It's like the Meir Shapiro, the Lubliner Rav, founder of the Daf Yomi. So he said, Chassidim say Hallel and Shul on the night of Pesach. So a Chassid once, he said, I once heard a Chassid explain this line in the Ramah. He said, why do you assume the Ramah, the tone of the Ramah is, no, in Ashkenaz we don't say Hallel and Shul on the night of Pesach. Maybe the Ramah said, in Ashkenaz, unfortunately, I'm so jealous of the Chassidim, I'm so jealous of those who do say Hallel. Unfortunately, this is the practice in Ashkenaz. We're not able to say Hallel and Shul. And I have to follow my family practice, even though it's hard for us, because how beautiful would it be to say Hallel with a bracha and shul on the night of Pesach. So says Rav Meir Shapiro, who says that the way you're reading the Mishnah is the right tone? Kach hidar chashal Torah, this is the way of Torah, live a life of deprivation, don't have good food, don't have proper bedding. Rav Meir Shapiro said, maybe the right way to read the Mishnah, he said to the Gvir to try to get a nice check, he said, Kach hidar chashal Torah, the bachim shouldn't have good food? That my yeshiva bachur should have to sleep? These great Jews who learn Torah day and night shouldn't have a proper bed to sleep in? So who's to say, Kachi Darchash Torah? Maybe the way of Torah is supposed to be one where what? Where you do have some of these luxuries. This was his way of trying to convince the Gevir to give generously to his yeshiva. But again, at the end of the day, we're not sure. We're really not sure. What does Hashem want from us? Is it possible to have a life of Torah where I'm also engaged with the pleasures of the world? Am I supposed to just suffer through a life of Torah? Am I supposed to find a geshmak where even though I'm suffering, it's not really suffering because I'm enjoying every minute of it? It's sometimes very hard to figure it all out. So let's go back to where we started and end this year. We started with 2 mashalim of 2 bags. A tale of 2 bags. What were the 2 mashalim? The Dumna Magid told us that when that young man was carrying that bag, right, and the businessman said to him, you got the wrong bag, buddy. If you're so worn out, you must be carrying the wrong bag. Torah can't wear you out so much. Torah is a privilege. If you're really doing it right, you should feel energized by it. You should want to just do more and more of it. You shouldn't say, okay, ad kam, Hashem, I was yotzei my chiyuv today. I went to a shir, I daven shachas min chamar, I said my brachos when I ate my food. Leave me alone. I just want to watch the ball game. Right? Then you're doing something wrong. If you're so burnt out from Torah, then you have the wrong bag. That was one mashal. What was the other mashal? The second mashal was what? Rav Asher of Stolen. That the chassid came to him, he was complaining, I'm so, oh, Rabbi, it was so hard to get to you. He said, what do you mean? Of course it was hard to get to me, because you're carrying gold. When the businessman had his bag stolen, and the bag became light, he knew, my gold has been stolen, I'm carrying straw, I'm carrying worthless items. So which is it? Is Torah supposed to be hard and difficult, but we do it anyways because it's worth it? Is Torah supposed to be pleasurable, and we should feel that, no, I feel energized by it, I never feel tired by it? I think we would all agree, at the end of a shir, with many sources and many different ideas for us to think about as we come to the Yom Tov Shavuos, I think we would all agree that it's something of a combination of both. There are moments, and we're supposed to have those moments, where we're standing at our Sinai, and the mountain over our head is not a gun to our head, it's a chuppah. It's a moment of tremendous joy. And at the same time, that image of the Gemara with the mountain over our head is supposed to instill a certain fear and responsibility within us, that yes, even if it's hard, on those days where I'm schlepping and I'm schwitzing and it's heavy, but it's worth it because I'm carrying gold, like the second mashal. I don't think it's one or the other. I think we would all agree that in our life's experience, it's a combination of the two. So I leave you with the words of the Lubavitcher Rebbe in the final source. Rabbi Zev Siegel, a well-respected Jewish activist, shared a close relationship with the Rebbe. It's from a book called Seeds of Wisdom. Once before Siegel traveled abroad, the Rebbe asked him to undertake a confidential and very challenging assignment. Upon returning to the United States, Rabbi Siegel reported back to the Rebbe, "Rebbe," he said, "let me tell you, it was not an easy task at all." "Rabbi Siegel," the Rebbe responded with a smile, "since when did you make a contract with the Almighty that your life would be easy?" Who said this was supposed to be easy? Again, halavai, we should have many moments where it feels that we're doing it right and it's just a good time. But again, Shavuos is a time, on the one hand, to renew our commitment to having a good time with Torah. Lulei Soras Chashashuai, Torah is supposed to be a pleasurable delight. But at the same time, to realize that when it's heavy, realize we're carrying gold. And if we're carrying a bag that's too easy and too light through this world, we should be nervous that we're just carrying a straw. Mirtz Hashem, we should be zochah to carry both of these bags until the gula comes from Harab Yamenu. Have a wonderful yontiv, and thank you for coming out to learn. We'll daven ma'ariv now, right here. Shkoyach.